Are you kidding me? WFM, coming from the east side. Good for Gorsuch. I did have to say that. Good for Gorsuch. So, I know that I live a boring life with boring patterns and Stefan Lambigan, would you agree that I am a boring person that just lives alone and goes to the casino?
You're patterned.
Yeah, you've got a pretty clear pattern, and you're one-dimensional. You're pretty one-dimensional.
Okay, thank you. My point being is that last night I broke the mold, and I went down to the lake, and I know that it is freezing, and I took a lake dip.
Little Triv, that's just suicide. Were you trying to kill yourself?
Lake dip.
Isn't there a club for that? For the...
Yeah, they're the Polar Bear Club.
The Snowcappers.
I'm not sure. It's called the Snowcappers.
Polar Bear Club. Why do you... I gotta ask you a question, Little Triv, because I see this whenever somebody ends up in the lake, I gotta ask you, do you see any Lake Erie monsters?
I'm just asking you a question.
Lake Erie monsters seem so far, and I am a very honest.
Yes or no? Host. Did you see any Lake Erie monsters? It's mostly a joke. Just laugh and move on.
No, I didn't see it. I didn't see any, but I wouldn't be surprised if I had, because Asian carp are monsters of their own. And Seth, you have a little bit of an Asian carp experience, right?
Not so much an experience, just that I think they're gross, and I caught one and I cooked it up for my kids, and they all got sick.
It's actually pretty good meat.
You cooking up some sick fish for your family?
Well, yeah, you could call it sick fish now that they all got sick, but I didn't know that before.
Well, you do feed them a lot of white fish. You got a lot of problems when you give them the white fish?
No, they're healthy when I feed them the white fish.
Well, I gotta ask you both something. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Little Triv, when you were in the lake, did you see any perch? That's more realistic than the Lake Erie monster, that dumb question that Lambigan asked.
I don't know if I saw perch or not, because you do know what it's like at night in the lake, Seth. I don't have any tools that I can look under the water to see types of fish.
Well, can you see, when you're walking around at night, can you see anything, Little Triv? Can you see, like, a squirrel, maybe, at night?
The only thing I could see and feel when I was walking around, and it could have been something else, but in my mind's eye, it was all Asian carp.
So, let me ask you a question.
I'm just asking you a question.
When it's nighttime, you can't see anything, but you feel like you can see lots of Asian carp. Yes?
What is your question that I could... Yes, I saw the Asian carp, but I couldn't see anything else.
Okay, well, my other question is...
I'm just asking you a question.
Is Asian carp an invasive species?
No. We will get an expert on the line at some point on the show, but that is an absolute urban white person myth.
Well,
a white myth.
White myth, huh? Okay. Well, I was going to say, because I hate... No, wait. Let me back up. I hate animals.
Woo! Are you kidding me?
I hate animals. And I love invasive species. And we can get into this later, but I love invasive species. Mollusks, kudzu, the way it spreads all over, killing plants and weeding and... It kills all the pretty plants. I love it. It's beautiful. And I love the way it kills. It just sucks everything up.
I don't agree with that. I like invasive species. I love mussels.
Mussels? Oh, yeah, the zebra mussels.
I just love seafood. Oh,
those are so sweet.
Yeah, I love seafood, and they look sweet, too.
Well, those are... Well, Seth, those are some more of those sick fish. You can't eat those.
Oh, you can eat
them. No, you'll get... Well, you can eat them, but you'll get sick. Oh, be honest with me. When you ate zebra mussels, did you get sick?
Well, yes, I wasn't...
They're sick fish. You can't eat them, Seth.
I didn't...
I'm sorry. I keep making this mistake. You can eat them, but it'll make you sick.
Well, I wasn't exactly sick, but I was unwell. Now, I want to get back to this perch thing I was talking about. Now, you guys know... Are you happen to being Catholics?
Are we happy?
Are you happy? And are you happy Catholics?
Catholic, yes. Practicing, maybe. Happy,
no.
No.
I am a lapsed Catholic. Or what do you call it?
I do believe in Eucharist. I am not a strict follower of my Catholic religion, but I do strongly believe in Eucharist.
Okay, so we got Little Triv. He's a harsh believer in Eucharist. And
do you know what Eucharist is?
Well, I...
No, could you explain what Eucharist is?
White circle. Tongue. Eat.
So like a BJ, basically, in church.
If you want to take it there, very much... very similar.
Because my crotch can produce a lot of little white circles. Little white puddles.
That's pretty much what the Eucharist is, because it is the body of Christ.
That's really gross. Jesus, you listen to this? You're disgusting.
Well, are you kidding me?
All aboard.
All aboard.
As I was saying, though, especially with you guys being fans of Eucharist and all.
Oh, I didn't say nothing about that, but go ahead.
Well... Typically, when you put that little biscuit on your tongue, you get hungry, right? And this time of year, if you're a Catholic, you can't be eating pork or beef.
They'll only give you one of those, too. They won't give you an extra.
Yeah, I see where you're going with this, Seth.
On a weekend, you're eating perch.
Fish fry.
Fish fries.
We got to take a quick break. Fish fry.
My country, you. To be sweet land of liberty.
So I go. Oh, speaking of perch, I go on Lorraine Road in Fairview Park to the American Legion Post, and volunteers from the Fairview Park community, West Side. I know this is an East Side show, but we're talking West Side here. Volunteers from the community cook perch and cod every weekend, every Friday, for a kind of overpriced meal. It's about $11. And I like it.
Well, it's unlimited, right? You get as much as you want.
No, that's the thing. You only get three pieces, three fillets.
And it's whitefish? Is it whitefish or is it sick fish?
Perch is whitefish, yes. Perch and cod are both whitefish.
Both delicious whitefish.
And you don't get sick.
A delicious
fish. Do they do the Asian carpet at these fish fries?
Oriental. It's Oriental.
They'll do anything for you, Little Triv, if you got the money.
But why is it that when you talk, I pay attention? Why? You could ask people that know me. I pay attention to nobody.
It kind of kills the conversation when I do that, doesn't it?
Well, I think It means that it's time to move on.
Yeah, that's what it means.
To maybe the letter that we got in the mailbag.
Oh, you saw some good letters in here.
Yeah, we got one. The other one was a death threat. The other one was a little powder. I couldn't tell if it was cocaine or anthrax. So I mixed it up with some water, took a sip, tasted nasty, dumped it out in the sink, and then opened the other letter.
It seems like we get a lot of funeral notices and... death notes.
A lot of powders. And we've been getting a lot of powders.
Yeah.
And it's very dangerous.
We used to get mail that was relevant to the show. And it actually had information and comments or complaints.
Insights about the community of Cleveland.
Exactly. But now it is It's all death notes and anthrax and suicide letters. It's
we get a lot of suicide notes.
We do. And I don't know why the listeners are writing the notes to us. And maybe
because we don't know them. We don't know who you are. We won't miss you.
Honest. Maybe we'll do a show one day dedicated completely to the suicide letters we get sent in.
Hey, Seth, you're the smart guy. What do you think about this theory? The reason why we're losing listeners is because our show makes them all want to kill themselves.
You said I was the smart guy?
You're the smartest guy, no.
Wow, you never mentioned that to me before.
Well,
it kind of pisses me off, actually.
Well, what do you think you were?
You're not going to like this letter then, Seth.
Oh, crap.
We just got one letter this week, and it's the only letter we'll really read on the air. The other ones are death notes and suicide letters. So,
and powders.
And powders. This is a letter from a listener. Dear Seth, since you seem to always be the smartest guy in the room, could you please explain to me what the deep state is? Keep hearing about it on Tucker Carlson and have no clue what the hell they mean by deep state. Yours truly, Carolyn in Brook Park, over by the big boy. I know where that's at.
Oh, yeah, it's right over down on 130.
Yeah, some close to Tiedemann, right? 480.
A little bit past Tiedemann.
Anyways, I don't claim to be the smart guy.
Well, she said you were, so how about she answer the damn question? How about she answer the damn question before I bite your butt?
I'm going to take a fucking stab at it, okay? So here's an analogy for you. We're talking about deep state. That was a question.
They said, what is deep state?
All right, here's something. So you got a bowl of clam chowder that let's just say you're feeding it to your daughter. And you give her a tiny spoon to fit her tiny hand because she's just a delicate little girl. To stir it around
You're creepy, Seth.
And make sure that everything's warmed up and she's getting even bites in every sip she takes. Now imagine there's somebody over her shoulder with a bigger spoon and it's invisible. And they stir it while she watches in horror as the soup is swirling around and she has not even put the spoon into the bowl. Now apply that to politics, and there you have it, the deep state.
That was crystal clear, and thank you for Carolyn in Brook Park. I know exactly where you live, over by the big boy. I can pretty much see your house. And I think we're going to get Glenn on the air. Glenn is on the Mike Trevisano show on WTAM 1100.
That's your dad's gig.
He wants to know what we're going to talk about.
Well, I think. I don't know. I kind of wanted to see what he thinks about these fish fries and all this white fish and sick fish and if he's been eating it and, you know.
Okay, we could talk to him about fish fries, but I kind of want to hear his thoughts on your dad, Little Triv.
All right, fish fries, politics, and the Triv show.
Oh, sure.
Okay, yeah, I want to talk about all those things. We talked a lot about fish fries already, so I'd kind of like to just hear what he thinks.
We spent way too much time on fish fries today.
Is fish fries spelled when you say multiples?
F-R-E-U-S-C-H. Fish fry.
Anyways, good for Gorsuch. Absolutely unbelievable success. So these lying weathermen, can we just talk about this snowfall? The supposed snowfall covering the snow belt?
Well, we got lying weathermen. That's the problem. It's fake news, fake weather. Nothing they say makes sense. It's fake weather.
I spent 3 hours watching Mark Johnson from WKYC Weather Guy on Facebook Live yakking in front of his iPad on Facebook Live. 3 hours I watched this man on Facebook Live wearing an under t-shirt. And the entire time, every single person watching the video commenting, is Chardon going to have a snow day? Is North Olmsted going to have a snow day? Is Shaker Heights going to have a snow day?
And they all got a snow day.
They all got an answer from Mark Johnson immediately after asking. Do you know what kind of video this was?
A Sounds
viral.
Asinine.
Viral.
Well, you know what, Little Truth? Something I got to say about this fake weather. I was shaking, sitting on the couch, white knuckles, shaking, grabbing my recliner, tearing the stuffing out. You know, my dog was hiding under the couch. We were looking outside, not what? A flake well, and drop.
Were you going to do something to the dog if he did something that you didn't like?
If I was going to get snowed in, I was going to eat that dog. And it was a stray, because you know I don't have a dog. It was a stray, so it didn't
Whoa,
have a family.
Are you kidding me?
It didn't have a family. And no, I'm not kidding. I was going to eat that dog if I got snowed in. And that's why I was scared. I wasn't scared of the storm. I was scared of me, because I'm not nice to animals. I'm not mean. I'm not cruel, but I won't pet you. I won't call you over. I won't pet you. I won't touch you. I won't look at you. You cross me, I'll cross you. I don't like animals. You bite me, I'll pull your fur. You lick me, I'll lick you. I'll spit on you. I don't like animals. I don't like animals. I'm sorry. I don't like any of them. And I'm getting really pissed off thinking about them. So can we move on?
A lick is a kiss.
Well, I like kisses. But maybe just not from animals. And I want to say something. There's something. Our big story of the week is coming right up. And I'm wondering if maybe this is what we should talk about sooner rather than later. Steve Bannon's acid hot tub. Little Triv, did you hear about this?
We definitely should be talking about this sooner.
Then?
Later?
Then?
After?
Noon.
Are you kidding me?
What is up with this junk drawer? Hot tub.
Steve Bannon abandoned his mansion, and when they went to go like check it out, the landlord went to go check it out. The hot tub was filled with acid. The hot tub was filled with acid.
Woo, are you kidding me?
Little Triv, I want you to read the quote that he texted to his landlord when he said, Bannon, why the hell is this hot tub filled up with acid? So I want you to read, what did he say back to the landlord?
All right, so the landlord says, entire jacuzzi bathtub seems to have been covered in acid. The landlord wrote in February 2015 email to Bannon. I'm out of town, Bannon replied. Is there any way you can talk with Diane and sort things out?
Who the hell is Diane?
Woo, are you kidding me?
Come on, man. You can't just leave a hot tub filled with acid. Can I say something? I think I know why I fear Bannon so much. Can you guys guess why?
Why?
Because he's just like
he's
me.
He's just like you.
He is exactly like me. I would leave. If I had a jacuzzi hot tub, I would one day abandon the hell out of it, but not before filling it to the brim with what? You guessed it. Acid.
Lamigan, do you find commonplace? I don't know how to word this. I'm not illiterate, but
you are illiterate. Can't read.
I'm not illiterate.
You are illiterate. You can't read, Little Triv.
Being illiterate means I'm not illiterate.
You aren't literate,
Lamigan. Do you find brotherhood with men that are similar to you?
I find hatred towards them because I get the feeling that there's only allowed to be one of me in the room. And if I sense another Lamigan nearby, I feel rage and fury. And a lot of times that manifests as fear in my heart. And it makes me, it just makes me very angry and fearful. And when you scare a wild animal, you know what they do? They attack. And I think a lot of my life I've been on the offensive. So when I cross paths with another Lamigan type, I'm going to lash out. And hearing all this stuff, all this talk about Steve Bannon in the news, headline news, CNN, NBC, all I'm thinking the whole time is, this is hitting me way too close to home, because I'm just like this guy.
It hits you hard finding out something like that. We have a guest on the other side of the break, and I think you guys will all enjoy. And for some of our listeners, you might not know who he is, but for some of our listeners, you will know exactly who he is.
My name is Patricia Smith. My son, Sean, was one of four brave Americans killed during the 2012 terrorist attack at Benghazi. Sean was a wonderful son and father to my two amazing grandchildren, Samantha and Nathan, now 10 and 11. He was proud to serve his country with the United States Foreign Service. The last time I talked to Sean, the night before the terrorist attack, he told me, "Mom, I am going to die." All security had been pulled from the embassy, he explained. And when he asked why, he never received a response. Nobody listened. Nobody seemed to care.
And you know who didn't listen?
The very next day, he was murdered.
By Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton is running for mayor of New York City. Can you believe it?
Potentially.
Potentially. Okay.
So we have a very special guest on the line. It is Glenn Forbes from WTAM's The Trib Show, and he also subs in for some other shows, and he does the sport feed with Nicholas Camino. Anyways, Glenn, how are you doing, Glenn?
I'm doing all right, but I got to tell you, this is far more creepy than I anticipated.
Well, it depends on what you mean by creepy.
It's 12 to 1 a.m. on Wednesday nights, Glenn. This is not the 3 to 7 slot.
Yeah, things aren't normal.
It is not. That is for sure.
Glenn, you definitely should not normalize us.
I would never dream of it. Never would I dream of it.
I'm glad. Okay, good. Good.
Glenn, so we know that Glenn Forbes has two main interests, and possibly two only interests in life, and that is sports and politics. What else is there besides sports and politics to Glenn Forbes, if anything?
I'm watching Seinfeld right now. Does that count?
Is that like a sitcom?
Seinfeld, The Simpsons. I like to try to laugh if I can.
Do you food?
I'm in the stock market a little bit. You guys got any tips?
We have not consulted with Mortosh. Mortosh is not called. Is not returning our calls or anything of the like. We each bought a raffle ticket for the Mortosh cash, and we all lost. And we think that the guy that won, who just so happened to be an animal lover, Glenn, is that real?
It's rigged, I think.
it's all above board, because Big Triv, and there's no one associated with Big Triv or the radio station that handles it. It's all Codes for Kids, and that's why it is above board. We have nothing to do with it.
I want to say something really quick, that I have never, ever won a raffle. And I think it's because I always spit on the ticket, but that's just so it sticks together when I fold it.
That's not it. You know, are you spitting on the part that you're putting back into the drum, or are you just spitting on the part of the ticket that you keep?
I'm spitting on the part that I put in the drum so that it sticks together, so that when they pull it out, it's still folded up.
Well, and part of the logic, too, is that when you're reaching in for the ticket, if you're the raffle person, the raffle woman, usually it's a woman, they tend to grab something that feels different from the other tickets. And if you feel something a little more wet, you're more likely to pull it out. because it stands out to you.
I'd say the opposite because I've never won. I think if I felt something wet in the raffle bin, I would not select it. I think I would leave it alone.
Well, and this may be before your time, and not to head back to in the sports direction here, but it's like when the New York Knicks or the NBA supposedly bent the corner on their lottery card, so that was the first overall pick so they could select Patrick Ewing. It almost seems like you're trying to, you know, develop some sort of conspiracy here.
It makes sense. It falls in line.
You always want to make your raffle ticket special because I know when I'm pulling the ticket, my fingers are feeling around for the most unique, interesting feeling ticket of them all. And that's the one who wins, honestly. It's not random at all. It's which ticket feels the most interesting.
How much experience do you have in pulling raffle tickets?
Just here and there, maybe a couple times in class when I was in grade school. I think one time we were doing a Secret Santa gift exchange with my family, they passed me a hat, and I had to pull out a name. And, you know, just here and there, everybody's
very, very
done a whole bunch of raffle experience.
Also, raffle discipline. Raffle discipline with your children. Where they choose their discipline through the raffle in the hat? Have you ever written down disciplinary action on raffle tickets and let the daughter pick the ticket?
You know, that's a hell of an idea. I think I'm going to have to try that. I didn't expect to learn so much during this phone call, but that's a pretty good idea.
Well, I got to ask you not to change the wheels really, really quick. I got to change the wheels here. So, Seth, we were talking before. We were wondering, if we held our own Coats for Kids charity, would that be illegal?
Are you talking about doing an event in conjunction with Coats for Kids, or are you talking about starting your own Coats for Kids charity?
I was thinking of the first one, but you just gave me a great idea.
If you're going to start your own charity, you'd have to call it something different. If you wanted to do an event with Coats for Kids,
that'd be legal.
I'm sure you could at least, you know, propose something to them. I do not purport to speak to Coats for Kids.
We could call it.
This may not be something that they want to be associated with, but you could at least make the proposal.
Well, how about I make my own, and I call it Coats for Two Kids?
Just two. Do you have two kids?
We'll raffle off two kids in the city of Cleveland, and those two will get more coats than they could ever imagine.
They'll be showered with coats.
They'll have coats for their whole life.
I think that's a winner. I mean, are you going to get different sizes of coats then?
Well, I hope we...
For their whole life?
What he chooses to do with the coats is up to the kid. Because the kids don't have any say in the matter. You can say all you want about the parents, but the kids don't have any say in the matter. So you raffle off tickets for two kids to win the coats. Only two kids can pick the coats, and they have no say in the matter. And one of the kids gets thousands of coats.
And I also want to say something here, now that I'm thinking about it and the wheels are turning, that these kids, I don't want them to be just poor kids, because I think that's special treatment. I think it should be all kids, even rich kids who live in mansions in Solon. Those kids should have every equal opportunity to get all of these amazing coats.
Woo! Are you kidding me?
All you're missing is the personal responsibility part of the speech there, little Triv. And I think that's a fine idea. But I'm not sure you could garner enough support for kids whose families are worth, say, you know, over $1 million.
I think it'd be interesting to try.
You could give it a shot, but I think you'll be less likely to get the necessary donations.
Well, that's true, but I'd sure as hell like to try to get a charity going for rich kids.
Agree to disagree.
Because sometimes you got strict parents, and the parents don't really buy him things, so it's kind of sad.
That's true. I mean, you're tapping into an uncharted portion of charity here, if you can get this off the ground. So, I mean, if you've got a dream, go for it.
Thank you, and I think I will. Thanks for giving me the idea.
You're perfect. Please do not attribute that to me in any way.
You will be the founder.
It will be called Glenn Forbes's Coats for My Two Kids. Glenn, I'd like to shift the wheel a little bit. Turn the wheel over to something else.
Just rotate that little wheel.
There's a lot of turning wheels here.
Oh, yeah. You're getting the idea.
The wheel in the sky keeps turning, Glenn. And now we are going to turn it to LeBron James. Do you hate this man as much as Big Triv hates this man?
I'm not a fan of his. I mean, I'll tell you that. I mean, it sounds silly, you know, to say that in Cleveland, and I understand that. But I have, you know, a long memory, and sometimes you don't even need a long memory. I mean, here's a guy who just recently is throwing his front office and his teammates under the bus, you know, simply because they don't want to play defense during the regular season. You know, he's going to rip on the front office and his teammates and things like that. So there are some issues I have with LeBron James. It all revolves around, you know, the things that he says and kind of his general attitude about things. Obviously, he's a tremendous basketball player. I don't enjoy the NBA or the Cavs like I used to. So in that sense, I suppose I'm similar to Triv.
Do you think he tries to create storylines to make people more interested in the game, or do you think he's just a big baby?
That's a pretty good question. I mean, I think everything he does has some sort of calculation to it, and he knows that everything he says will be, you know, breathlessly covered one way or the other. So, you know, part of it is he does know the squeaky wheel is going to get the grease. I think the NBA, because their regular season is so boring, does encourage some of this stuff, or at least, you know, they don't come down on a guy like Charles Barkley for saying what he says. You know, not that they should. I don't think they should at all, but they certainly don't mind the extra publicity, the manufactured controversies during their very boring regular season.
Because the NBA is very boring until the end.
Well, I was reading something that LeBron James wants to play a superhero. And, you know, every stupid little thing he says gets all kinds of coverage, and I'm just thinking to myself, and I know this is what he wants, but I'm just thinking to myself, sitting in my recliner, well, what superhero would he play? And I just keep asking myself that question nonstop every day. Well, what superhero would LeBron play? Well, what superhero would LeBron play? And I thought of everything. I thought Batman. I thought LeBron Man. They'd make their own. They'd make LeMan Man. I don't know. LeMan Man. I don't know. And they make Basketball Man. Who knows what?
Woo! Are you kidding
what
me?
What freaking superheroes they're coming up with these days? Maybe they'd make them like they'd make them like Captain America and call them Captain Basketball. And I'm getting really worried that they're gonna make some stupid movie where LeBron James is a superhero, and I can't stop thinking about which superhero he'd be. And Glenn, Little Triv, what superhero would you like to see not little, he's a pretty big guy, LeBron James play in a superhero movie?
I gotta tell you, I never thought that somebody could think so much about that particular topic.
You wouldn't believe it.
I'm now a little concerned that you do not have the focus or the fortitude to go ahead with your charity for rich kids have to think this much about LeBron and what superhero he would play.
I feel like I just got turned down for that custodian job all over again. Listen,
you could ask Little Triv. Maybe Little Triv has an opinion. I don't even know what to. I don't think the guy is a very good actor, number one. So I don't think I would like to see him play any superhero.
Oh, he was in that Amy Schumer movie. She's ugly as hell.
Nothing's worse than Amy Schumer,
Who made that movie star? It's a movie star created by the liberal elite to make you think that you like what you're watching.
There are two people I hate more than anybody else on Earth, and that's Amy Schumer and Chuck Schumer.
they're related, so there you go. It's perfect. They are cousins.
It doesn't shock me because of their last name.
Yes, they are equally annoying. I if I meet another Schumer, I'm going to avoid them simply because of those two.
Just abandon that family. They don't do any good for this country. But anyway, back to what you said about my personal integrity. I am a guy who I lack many things. Intelligence, yeah. Determination, interest,
restraint.
Restraint, moral aptitude, virtue. I'm a very rotten person. And to hear you say those negative things about me, just it's sort of like my life fuel. I feel like it makes me stronger, and I thank you for that.
Well, first of all, you're welcome. Second of all, that's way more information than I think probably anyone wanted to know.
Hey,
it's
easy to get a lot out of me.
I was merely commenting on what I think, you know, could be a conflict, at least in your mind, if you focus so much on LeBron's future acting roles.
Oh, so you're saying it was so you're just saying that it was just something to consider.
Correct.
Oh, okay. So
correct. I did not intend to get this deep into your personal problems.
Oh, I don't want to call them problems. I would call them strengths.
Yeah. Merely